could turn in God's Word to that portion of Scripture, Nehemiah chapter 3. And we'll unite together at the throne of grace in prayer. Our gracious God and our loving Father, we do thank Thee for Thy Word and bless it to us as we consider it today. We thank Thee for the determination of Nehemiah in his day to rise up and build. And, O God, we thank that they entered straight away into that great work. There was no delay when the word came for Nehemiah to work. He was willing to work. Make us willing in this day to work for Thee and stand for Thee in this day in which we live. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask these things. Amen. Amen. Last time when we looked at the book of Nehemiah, we were focusing our attention upon the leadership of Nehemiah. We saw how he invited the people to come and take part in the work of building again the wall of Jerusalem that was broken down and lying in rubble. And then we said that not only did he invite them to come and take part in the work, but he inspired them to take part in the work. He said that the good hand of God was upon them. And he said in the last verse, the God of heaven, He will prosper us. And then it says, His servants will arise and build. And thank God that they were inspired. The enemies came to ridicule and laugh at them. But they were inspired and they got up and they started the work. The servants began to build. And in chapter 3 and verse 1, we see immediately they start in the work. Immediately Nehemiah allocates the different people to the work of building the wall. And you'll see in this chapter, chapter 3 of the book of Nehemiah, if you were to read down it, you'll find there's a list of gates that were built in the wall of Jerusalem. And between the gates, of course, they built the wall. But you see the list of 10 gates here. There are 10 gates mentioned in Nehemiah chapter 3. And there are another couple of gates mentioned elsewhere in the book of Nehemiah. 12 gates of Jerusalem. 10 of them are here. Each one of these gates was ruined. Each one of the gates was burned with fire, needed to be repaired. But Nehemiah started right away and allocated the different people to the different parts of the work. And every man and every person had their own part in the work to do. And they started here at the sheep gate. Now, we see that the sheep gate, or we would know that the sheep gate, was located on the northern part of the wall. And this sheep gate was the first gate that they began to repair. Now, Jerusalem is a place of high spiritual significance. The temple was in Jerusalem. It was the place where God dwelt amongst His people and where the Shekinah glory of God came down. And, of course, there's a spiritual significance to Jerusalem. And, of course, there's a spiritual significance to the walls of Jerusalem. And there's a spiritual significance to each one of these gates. Now, as we look at these gates, and we hope to look at them during the next number of weeks, we'll find that you will trace the progress of the life of a Christian. As you look at the gates one by one, you will find that you have the progress of the Christian's experience. And we see the sheep gate and the fish gate and the old gate here and all the other gates. And as we look at them, we're going to learn wonderful truths. But I want you to see that the people in Nehemiah's day started at the sheep gate. There's a great significance in that. The sheep gate was the foundation gate. And we need to start at the beginning. In our lives, we need to start at the start. That's a good place to begin, at the beginning. We need to lay the foundations first. And the sheep gate was the foundation gate. Now, there are those of you here today, and you haven't even started the foundation. You haven't even erected the sheep gate of your life. You haven't even started the very beginning of spiritual foundations. For you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Well, what we want you to do today is enter into the sheep gate of God's salvation. So we're going to look at the sheep gate for a few minutes today. And there are a number of wonderful lessons that I want you to see in this portion of Scripture. First of all, I want you to look at the character of the sheep gate. What was this gate? Look at the name of it. Why was it called the Sheep Gate? Well, it was called the Sheep Gate for a very simple reason, and that is that it was the way to the temple. And when the sacrifices were brought, the sheep were brought for the sacrifices and for the burnt offerings, they were all brought in at the Sheep Gate. And there was a sheep market there, and we read about it in the Word of God, about the sheep market and all that was taking place. And we think then about the Sheep Gate, we remind ourselves of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says that He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so He openeth not His mouth. And so as the sheep would have been brought here to the slaughter, brought to the burnt offering, brought to the place where their blood was shed, so our Savior entered into the place, into the Jerusalem, on the north of Jerusalem, and there He went to the center cross of Calvary and shed His blood that we might be redeemed. It was the place of atonement. He went to Calvary's cross. And when we think then of the Sheep Gate, it reminds us of Calvary. It reminds us of our Savior, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And thank God we have a wonderful picture of the Savior here. Now, you notice, we said that they began the building of the walls at the Sheep Gate. That's the foundation. And we know it's the foundation to every spiritual life. If you're going to have real life, eternal life, abundant life, then you've got to start at the Sheep Gate. That's the point that we were making. But also I want you to realize that they finished the building at the Sheep Gate. If you turn over to chapter 3, and look at verse 32, and they go round the wall. If you read the whole chapter, they go round the wall anti-clockwise, round the gates, and they come back again. And it says, and between the going up of the corner onto the Sheep Gate, repaired the goldsmiths and the merchants. So they started at the Sheep Gate, and they finished at the Sheep Gate. And that reminds us of the fact that our Lord Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. You know, in the book of Revelation, He's called the Alpha and the Omega. Alpha is the first letter of the Greek alphabet. Omega is the last letter of the Greek alphabet. He's the first and the last. He's everything in between as well. But He is the one who is the first and last as far as our salvation is concerned. He's got to be the first that we depend upon, and He's the last that we depend upon. He's the only thing that we depend upon. And man or woman in this meeting, unsaved person in this meeting, you have to enter by the Sheep Gate. It's the first and last of life. It's the first and last of blessing. You've got to come by the way of the blood. You've got to come by the way that the blood is shed. And you need to be washed in that precious blood. He died there as a substitute on the cross of Calvary. And if you've never given your life to Christ, if you've never been saved, you've never entered by the Sheep Gate. Now I bid you to enter there today. I bid you to come by the Sheep Gate of God's salvation. So we notice the name of the gate. But notice the neighbors of the gate. Now when I speak about the neighbors of the gate, I'm referring to the towers here that are mentioned. There is the tower Hananel and the other tower Mia. Now, it's very interesting to look at those two towers. The Tower Mia, name Mia means the hundred. Now, people don't really know why it is called the hundred, this tower. There's a little bit of speculation that either it had 100 steps or it was 100 cubits high. But obviously, when it's known by the name the hundred, the name certainly speaks about a strong tower. If it was 100 cubits high, 150 feet high, what a mighty tower that was. Even if it had 100 steps going up, it was a mighty tower. And that reminds us of the fact that the Sheep Gate is guarded by strength. And when we enter into God's salvation, when we come by the way of the Sheep Gate, we enter into a place that is guarded and strong. And thank God that when you enter by the Sheep Gate, nobody's going to get in there and snatch you out again. The devil can't get in there and snatch you out. Nobody's going to pluck you out of the Father's hand. And we're reminded of the fact that God speaks of His strong salvation. You know, in Psalm 61 in verse 13, it says, For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. Do you know God is your strong tower today? In Psalm 18 and verse 2, there's something similar. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. He's our high tower today. His salvation, the gate, the sheep gate, is guarded by the one who is our high tower. Psalm 125, verse 2. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so is the Lord around His people from henceforth, for even forever. We are kept by the power of God. And thank God when we enter into God's salvation, He keeps us. He will keep me till the river rolls its water at my feet. And then He'll bear me safely over till the loved ones I shall meet. Oh, what a wonderful salvation this is. This is a strong salvation. And we think of the tower Mia here, the 100 tower. And then we have the tower Hananel. And I looked up the meaning of Hananel. And there are a number of different meanings that are given for Hananel. Strong says it means which God gave or God has favored. Or if you look in Young's Concordance, it is God is gracious. God is gracious. But they all have the one sort of meaning. It speaks of the favor and the grace of God. And isn't it significant there that the sheep gate speaks there of the grace and the favor of God? Because salvation, when we enter by the sheep gate, it's all of grace. It's all of the mercy and the grace and the favor of God. For by grace are ye saved. Through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And when we come by the way of the sheep gate, it's guarded by that great tower, Hananel, that speaks of the grace and the favor of God. None would be barred. None's going to be barred at that day. Thank God He opens the way by grace that you can enter in. And if you're not saved today, you can enter in. There's grace there. These towers are not to keep you out. These towers are there to guard you if you enter in. And thank God for that wonderful fact today as we look at God's salvation. We think of the character of the gate, its name, and its neighbors. But then I want you to see something else. We see the construction of the gate. Now, I want you to look at the people who constructed this gate, the sheep gate. There are three people or groups of people that are mentioned here as those that construct the gate. There are the priests, first of all. It says, then Eliashib the high priest rose up with his brethren the priests, and they built the sheep gate. So we have the priests, and particularly the high priest Eliashib here, and he is the one who overrules and superintends and looks over the work of the building of the sheep gate. Of course, that's very appropriate because the priests were the people that were involved in the sacrificing of the sheep that were brought in through the sheep gate. And you'll find that everybody in the labor here labored in something that was appropriate to themselves or over against their own particular place they labored. And these priests here were involved, and the high priest in particular. And of course, when it comes to the building of the wall of salvation, the gates of salvation, who was involved? Our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. We think of the one who is our Savior, and He's responsible for constructing the sheep gate by which we enter in. Salvation was planned by God, executed by God. It'll be brought to fruition by God. And as these high priests would enter once a year, so our Savior has once entered once into the holiest with His own blood. Thank God there's no more need for the shedding of the blood, because in Hebrews 9 and 24 it says, for Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Just as the high priest would bring the blood of the sheep that were shed, our Savior brought His own blood and sprinkled it on the heavenly mercy seat. And thank God that's an atonement for all time. That's the once and for all sacrifice. He says, now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. He built the walls, the gates of salvation. He has built a sheet gate for you to enter in, to come into his presence, to draw near to him. He has constructed a mighty sheet gate by the shedding of his own precious blood. He's the Lamb of God today. And we think of the Savior and the priest here who constructed the sheep gate. But then there's another group of people, and this is very interesting. If you look at verse 2, it says, and next unto him, that's the priest and Eliashib, next unto him builded the men of Jericho. Now this is a very different kettle of fish. We have the men of Jericho. Now the men of Jericho were men who were under a curse. Because you remember that in the days when Joshua and the children of Israel came in and they overtook Jericho, or God caused the walls to fall, God conquered Jericho. Remember, there's a curse put upon Jericho. It says that Joshua, cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth this city, Jericho. He shall lay the foundation thereof in his firstborn, and his youngest son shall he set up the gates of it. Now later on you read in the days of Elijah, that Hiel the Bethelite, or just before the days of Elijah, Hiel the Bethelite built Jericho, and he fulfilled the curse because he lost his firstborn and his lastborn son, as the curse had said. Now Jericho in the Bible is always a city under a curse. But they're involved here in building the sheep gate. Now, I want you to listen carefully to me, because I'm not going to suggest in any way that men are in any way involved in the building of God's salvation. Don't misunderstand me. If that is what you take away, you're going to take away a wrong impression. God and God alone saves. God and God alone builds the sheep gate of salvation. However, there would be no need for a sheep gate of salvation if man had not fallen under a curse. If man had not fallen in the Garden of Eden. Remember, when Adam fell in that garden, he was put under a curse. And the reason why our Savior had to come and shed his blood on the cross of Calvary was because of the curse of sin. Because of your sin. Because of my sin. Because of the fact of sin. That's why there needed to be sacrifices. That's why the blood needed to be shed. That's why those sheep had to be brought through that sheep gate. And why a gate had to be built in order to bring those sheep into the place where their blood would be shed and the sacrifices would be made. They were under a curse. But thank God that the gate was made. And you know something, it indicates to us that none are barred. Again, it indicates, because if these people, these men of Jericho, who were under a curse, could be involved in the building of this gate, it means that anybody can come. Anybody can come. You may be under a curse today, under the curse of sin, but you can come. And you can find God's salvation. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. And dear friend, man or woman, young person today, there's room for you. All these men here were under a curse, but they came to the sheep gate, and so can you. So the priests were involved, and the men of Jericho were involved. And then there's another man that is specifically mentioned. And next to them, verse 2, builded Zachar, the son of Imri. Now the name Zachar means mindful, and the name Imri means the promise of the Lord. So here's a man who was mindful of the promise of the Lord as he built. And he thought of the great promises. And we can think of the mighty promises that God built salvation upon. We think of that first promise in Genesis 3 and 15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. And it shall bruise thy head, and I will bruise his heel. And thou shalt bruise his heel, rather. It's a promise away back from the beginning of time. And God has made mighty promises. promises that He will save those that come to Him. Promises that He'll not cast those out who come and receive His salvation. And Zachary here would have been mindful of the promises of the prophets. Promises that God had made down through the ages. He would have been mindful of the servant in Isaiah 53. How He would be wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. And how the chastisement of our peace would be upon Him. And with His stripes we would be healed. He'd be mindful of that promise. And as He built the sheep gate, He was mindful of the promises of God. And this salvation, our sheep gate that we enter into, is built upon the promises of the God who cannot lie. When He says that He'll save us for all eternity, He will save us. When He says He'll not cast us out, He'll not cast us out. When He says that there's a place in heaven, I go to prepare a place for you, He has gone to prepare a place for us. We can believe in Him. There are many people you can't believe in. Many doctrines and things that men believe in, and you couldn't take one word of what they say. But I tell you this, you can depend upon the promises of the Lord. You can depend upon what God has to say. And here were these people, and they constructed the walls, and they constructed them that the sacrifices might be made, and they brought all together, and the walls of Jerusalem here were made that the sacrifices could be made, and it was a way of salvation. Have you ever entered there? Man or woman, have you ever entered by that gate? Have you ever come by the sheep gate of God's salvation? Has there been that time in your life when you have said, yes, I come. I come to the Lord. I'll enter that place where the blood is shed. I'll come to the place of sacrifice. I'll bow there and ask the Lord to cleanse me in His own precious blood. Have you ever come there? We see here the people who constructed the gate. But then notice the priority of the construction of the gate, because they did it first. They built the sheep gate first. A lot of people have a great care about many things in their lives, and there are many things that we have to take care of. There are finances and family problems and different trials and tribulations that come across our way. But is the Lord first? Is God's salvation the very first thing that you consider? Have you ever considered it at all? Has it ever entered into your head or into your heart that you need to be saved? No, this needs to be a priority. This needs to be a priority. The construction of the sheep gate was first. And you need to put those things first in your life and in your heart. So we see the character of the sheep gate, and we notice the construction of the sheep gate, but then notice the completion of the sheep gate, because it says in verse 1, they builded the sheep gate, they sanctified it, and set up the doors of it, even unto the tower of Mia, they sanctified it unto the tower of Hananel. Now you notice that they sanctified the gate here, and they set it apart, and the way that it is said here, it seems to refer to the fact that they would build a part of this gate, or they would build the gate and then they sanctified it, then they built the towers and they sanctified it, and they sanctified it as they built it. When it was completed, they built it. But there's certainly a thought of completion here, that when they completed these things, then they sanctified it. Now it's the only one of the gates, if you read down the gates, it's the only one of them that is sanctified. You notice that. It's the only one that is set apart for God. And we see that that it was a special, in that sense, it was sanctified. But it has the thought of sanctification being set apart for God and of being completed. And the work that our Savior did on the cross was certainly completed. In Hebrews 13 it says, when He had by Himself purged our sins, He sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. And there is the thought there in sitting down that He'd finished the work that God had given to Him to do. So you notice there that it is completed. And you notice something else about when the wall or the gate there was completed, that it didn't have locks or bars. Now you notice the rest of the gates, they all had locks and bars. Look at verse 3. You notice the fish gate, the next one. It says, and the fish gate did the sons of Hasanah build, who also laid the beams thereof and set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, and the bars thereof. Now, just go down to verse 6 and we'll give you another example, but you can go down them all. Moreover, the old gate repaired Jehoiada, the son of Paseah, and Meshullam, the son of Besodiah, they led the beams thereof, and set up the doors thereof, and the locks thereof, and the bars thereof. If you go down them, you'll find that every one of the other gates, the 10 gates here, or the 9 other ones, all have locks and bars. But the sheep gate doesn't have locks and bars. Why is that? Well, surely it indicates to us the fact that it wasn't locked, that it was open, that so that the sacrifices could come in. And I'm glad today that God's salvation is open and it's never locked. God has never barred the way to anyone. He says, "Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out." You know what he does, man or woman? He stands with his arms wide open. He invites you to come to him. There are no locks and no bars. There's no time when he's shut, day or night. There's no time when he will refuse you if you'll come to him. You can enter in at any time. You can enter in at any juncture, as it were. Now, don't take that for granted, because you can sit away your day of grace, as it were. But God's arms are always open. There are no locks and bars. You can come to him today. You can come by the sheep gate. And you can know God's salvation. You know, we read about a man in the New Testament who was saved at the sheep gate. If you turn to John chapter 5 and verse 2, it says, "Now there was at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches." And you'll notice, hopefully you have a better Bible than I have. I just noticed that my Bible doesn't have the italics in it. It was a bad thing. Hopefully you have italics. One of the great strengths of the Authorized Version that it gives italics for words that are not there. The word market ought to be in italics. And because it's not there, it's the sheep. It's the sheep gate. It's really the sheep gate. There was at Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. Many of the scholars think that the pool here was the pool in which at ancient times they would wash the sacrifices. But at this time there lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. And it says that there came down an angel a certain season, and if a man got in, he was healed of whatever plague he had. But there was a man here, and he had been impotent for many years, 38 years, it says. It says in verse 6, "And when Jesus saw him lie, when he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole?" What a funny question that was to a man who was waiting there to be healed. "Wilt thou be made whole?" And the man said, eventually he said, the impotent man said, "Sir, I have no man." But the Lord said, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." And it says, "And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath." So here's a man that was impotent, who couldn't walk. Just like you, dear friend, in your sin, you can't walk spiritually. You have no walk with God. But here's a man who met the Savior and was changed by the Savior. His life was changed. His life was transformed at the sheep gate. His life was made new at the sheep gate. His life was completely turned around at the sheep gate. And so can yours be if you come to him. So can yours be if you'll come to the sheep gate of God's salvation today. Your sins can be forgiven. Your sins can all be washed away. Will you come to him today? Will you seek his face? Will you call upon him for his so great salvation? And he'll wash you in his own precious blood. Come the sheep gate of God's salvation. May God write His word upon our hearts for His name's sake. Let's just bow in a word of prayer. And if God has been speaking to you, then come to the Saviour today and call upon Him for His so great salvation. Our loving God and our Father, we thank Thee today for the sheep gate of God's salvation. We thank Thee for Calvary today. We bless Thee for the fact that men and women can come to Thee. It's at Calvary's cross is where we begin when we come as a sinner to Jesus. We know that it's the foundation gate, the first gate and the last gate. Our God, we realize that it's the very foundation that men need to have, women need to have, young people need to have, children need to have in their lives to come and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. May it be that there will be one come today and find Thee whom to know is life eternal. Write Thy word upon our hearts for Jesus' sake.